Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. This is the reading of God's word. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in the front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words of that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and said before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word, that we may know your will that you have revealed in your word. And Father, let us obey your will. And Father, we pray as we hear your word that you will cause us to grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that our faith will grow and grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ through our lives. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us go out that we may worship our God. We heard Moses saying this to Pharaoh. And that is the purpose of the Exodus. As we have said, coming out of Egypt is important. And going into the promised land is important. But they are not the central focus of the Exodus. The most important thing about the Exodus is the meeting with our covenantal God. It is to be His covenantal people and to have the heavenly fellowship with Him. It is to worship Him and to enjoy Him now and forever. In the language of verses 5 and 6, it is to be God's own possession among all the peoples. To be to God a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And all this is accomplished through the covenant that God makes with His people. And the ultimate, the eternal accomplishment of it is through our Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly accomplished the new covenant of God. Verses 1 through 4, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God says, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptian and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Their journey from Egypt to Mount Sinai their wilderness journey. God describes that journey that way. God bore them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. There is similar expression in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 10 and 11. He found him, God found Israel, in a desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he guarded him as the pupil of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. He spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. Here, two words interest us. Verse 10, the word wilderness. And verse 11, the word hovers or hovering. These two words in Hebrew can be found only here and in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, in the whole Pentateuch. Do you remember Genesis 1, chapter 2? The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving or hovering over the surface of the waters. The word formless is the same word as the word wilderness in Hebrew, of course. And the word moving or hovering is the same word as the word hovers. So the Spirit of God was hovering over the formless, void, and darkness, the surface of the water in the first creation in Genesis 1. The Spirit of God was hovering over the formless or the wilderness, just like it. The Spirit of God was hovering over the people of God in the wilderness, or the Spirit of God was hovering over the wilderness of the people of God. So that's the picture. So as Israelites, they go through this wilderness, this journey, the picture is the same picture that you see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So what is the picture? It's a creation. It's a recreation or new creation. So even as they go through this wilderness, that journey, God is recreating his people as his own possession among all the peoples. God is recreating his people as his kingdom of priests and his holy nation. So Exodus is creation story. Verses 5 and 6, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. They are being recreated by God as a kingdom of priests. They were slaves in Egypt, but God is recreating them. New creation. Well, that's what salvation is all about. God is saving them. But as a kingdom of priests. Now, priests. Who are they? Their lives are about sacrifices to God, or in today's language, worshiping God. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Up to this point, they were not, but now they will be a kingdom of priests to God, God says. But there is this condition. It says, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Numbers chapter 3, verse 5 through 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. They shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, to do the service of the tabernacle. They shall also keep all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, along with the duties of the sons of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. You shall thus give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him from among the sons of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep their priesthood, but layman who comes near shall be put to death. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn. The first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel, so the Levites shall be mine. Now here, we saw before that God took the firstborn as his, but now here, he takes the Levites instead of the firstborns to perform the duty of the priests. God sets them apart for the priesthood. God sanctifies for himself the Levites as his priests and requires from them holiness. They are to give themselves and everything in them in performing the duties of God's priests. God sets them apart, and through consecration, God installs them as his priests. And in chapter 29 of Exodus, we will see this. They are to wash with water, and sacrifices are made for them, and the blood of animals is sprinkled for them, and they are to put on the priestly garments and the turbans on their heads. They are to represent the people to God and perform sacrifices and the offerings. They are sanctified, set apart for God to serve God throughout all their lives. God's plan is to create a kingdom of the priests, the holy priests as its citizens. But what we see in the Old Testament Israel is not the perfect kingdom of priests. God's ultimate plan is not just creating a kingdom with priests and wicked priests at best, but his ultimate plan is to create a kingdom of priests. Holy and righteous priests. As you know, the Old Testament is a type, not the perfect fulfillment of God's will. A type is always earthly and partial and temporary and physical. In the Old Testament, we see that only the few are set apart as the priests of God. And even those priests are not perfect priests. Often they were very wicked. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 through 12. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they multiply, the more they sin against me. I changed their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. And it will be like people, like priests, so I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough. They will play the harlot, but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them. For a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. Hosea chapter 5, verse 1a, Hear this, O priests. Give heed, O house of Israel. Listen, O house of the king. The judgment applies to you. Micah chapter 3, verse 11, Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. They yet lean on the Lord, saying, Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 11, for both prophet and priest are polluted. Even in my house I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Do you remember the condition of the covenant? It says, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. When we read the whole Old Testament, what will be our conclusion? Will they ever going to be a kingdom of priests? The answer is a resounding no. How could these sinners become a kingdom of priests? Does this mean that God's plan is not going to be fulfilled? God said, you will be to me a kingdom of priests. But these people, just like us, we are sinners. We're wicked sinners. Well, God himself promised. Jeremiah 33, verse 17 to 22. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And the Levitical priest shall never lack a man before me to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to prepare sacrifices continually. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he will not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levitical priest, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be counted, and the sand of the sea cannot be measured, so I will multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. If the covenant of day and night can be broken, then my covenant will be broken. But day and night covenant will not be broken. God promises this. So, you know, on one hand, God promises that his people will be to him a kingdom of priests. But on the other hand, they're sinners. They're wicked. So how could this come true? Because God said, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Well, God's promise is that there will be a person who will come and he will fulfill God's covenant. He will purify the true sons of Levites. Well, God's people of the Old Testament were to wait for the Messiah. He will come and he will fulfill the priesthood of God completely and perfectly and cleanse the true Levites. The Messiah is promised, and that Messiah, as you know, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, therefore, since we have a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. This high priest fulfills the office of priest. And I know this is going to be long, but I don't know how else I could explain this. I'd rather just read you many verses. See, God's ultimate plan is to create a kingdom of priests. And these priests are holy and righteous priests. That is the picture of heaven. But the problem is that his people are sinners, wicked sinners. So how is God's plan being fulfilled? Well, the Bible tells us it's through Jesus Christ. He comes and he fulfills the office of the priest. He is the true priest. He is holy and righteous priest. And he indeed obeys every commandment of God perfectly. And Bible says he does that for you in your place. And when you trust Jesus Christ, when you believe him, then you have become a priest in the true priest, Jesus Christ. Let me go to Hebrews. Hebrews speaks of this, and I know it's long passages, but let's do this. Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to read a few passages in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. Follow along. We're going to read chapter 7, chapter 9, and chapter 10. So Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, the Old Testament priesthood, for on the basis of it, the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to rise according to the order of Melchizedek? See, if Old Testament priests were good enough, then why was there a reason for another priest according to the another order of priesthood? Well, because they were not perfect. Not to be designated according to the order of Aaron. For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity, there takes a place a change of law also. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. Because in the Old Testament, who could become priest? Well, only Levites. But here's the priest who comes, but he was not from Levites. He was from Judah. So there's change of the priesthood and the change of the law. And this is clear still. If another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, not Aaron, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life, for it is a test of him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, and you find that verse in Psalms. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a formal commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as it was not without an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, But he with an oath through the one who said to him, Lord, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests, the Old Testament priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. The superiority of Jesus and his priesthood. See, Old Testament priests, they die, so there have to be so many of them. But they themselves were sinners, so they could not fulfill the office of priesthood forever. We needed the perfect priest, and he came. He is Jesus Christ. Well, go to chapter 9 now. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. See, Old Testament priests, they worked in an earthly tabernacle, which was made by hands of men. But Jesus went into the heavenly tabernacle. And in the earthly priests in the Old Testament, they used the blood of animals, which cannot cleanse our sins. But it was a type of Jesus' blood, which can cleanse our sins. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, Old Testament was a type, so it's always physical. So it was a physical ritual. So only cleansed in a ritual sense, in a physical sense. Only the flesh was cleansed, it says. So they were able to come to the type tabernacle and work as a type priest. But Jesus' blood actually cleanses all our sins. Not just outside. Just religiously cleansing, the ritually cleansing, but even our conscience is cleansed. There is no more guilt. Complete, perfect cleansing of our sins. One more place in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. See, Old Testament sacrifices were not perfect. That's why they had to offer again and again and again. But Jesus' sacrifice, when he dies on the cross for his people's sin, that sacrifice is a perfect sacrifice. When it's perfect, you don't have to do it again. So one sacrifice cleansed all sins of all of his people once and for all. So we don't have to sacrifice anymore. So our worship is a little bit different from Old Testament worship. Old Testament worship was always sacrifice. But see, that has been done. So, New Testament's worship is not really sacrifice. It's a celebration. It's a fellowship with our God. And in Jesus Christ, you and I, we are the true Levites. Because Old Testament Levites, they're all sinners, just like us. And they themselves could never be true Levites because they sinned. But you and I, we also sin. But the true Levite, Jesus Christ, who cleansed our sins and he lived that perfect righteous life so that in him we become true Levites that the Old Testament Levites were pointing to. They are the type of us who are in Christ. We are the true Levites. Thus, we are the true priests of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has cleansed us, the true Levites, by his precious blood. Verse 19, we go back to Exodus 19, chapter 19, verse 8. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." But can they? You know, just like us, they answer without any hesitation, "We'll do everything you say." Really? Is that what you say to our God? Can you do that? I can't. I mean, I tried all my life and I failed and I failed and I failed. They cannot. And they and we simply not able. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. I'll show you something I showed you probably before, but Joshua 24. This is, you know the story. Moses brought out all the Israelites out from the Egypt, and Joshua is the one who brings them into the promised land. And they go into the promised land and they conquer the whole promised land and now they divide the land. And at the end of Joshua chapter 24, Joshua gathers all of his, you know, God's people, and this is what we read. Verse 15. "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." See, they used to serve false gods in their, you know, their fathers, forefathers used to serve false gods in long ago, right? So Joshua gathers them and say, "Hey, let's choose. Who you going to choose? God or false gods?" And guess what? Verse 16. The people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." No way we're not going to serve other gods. We'll be faithful to our God. Everybody said this. And guess what Joshua says in verse 19? Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord." I mean, what is this? It's so let down. You gotta be encouraging, no? It's like this. Are you gonna serve God? And everybody say, yes! And he says, no, you can't. But he's speaking the truth. Can you? If you just promise me you will serve your God with all your heart and you go out that door and you will do that? How many times you promise your God and you fail? All the time. See, sinners are not able. Only Jesus Christ is able. Jesus Christ, Him alone accomplishes. And He does that for us, for you. Thus, only in Him we are the holy priest of God. We are the ones who actually obeys perfectly all of God's laws because Jesus Himself has obeyed perfectly all of God's laws in our places. He did that for you. And you must believe that. Because if you want to do it yourself, well, go ahead. Let's see how far you go. You can't. But only in Christ you are able. You must trust Christ. You must believe what He has done for you. Do you remember? If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. You see, this demand of God is perfectly satisfied in Christ. He has obeyed God perfectly and that for us. Then, if we did keep all of God's law perfectly in Christ, then you shall be my own possession among all people. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Thus, it is accomplished. It is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus and Jesus alone has accomplished it all. Thus, all who are in Christ Jesus are God's own possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Thus, Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And verse 9 and 10, "But you are..." Now, he's not speaking to Jews, he's speaking to the church, and he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And here, again, Peter is speaking of the church. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we are the kingdom of royal priesthood. This is what the Bible said. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know what is your eternal job is? Do you know that office you hold? Do you know what office do you hold in heaven forever? You are God's chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are the true Levites. You are God's kings and priests. Thus, your life is the life of the priest of God. Your life is about serving and worshiping God. That is your eternal work. No, we don't serve God in a temple of this world, but ultimately in the true temple, heavenly temple. You are set apart and cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are clothed with the true priestly garment, which is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was sprinkled for you, and His righteousness is what you wear as your priestly garment. This is how you have entered the true Holy of Holies, the heavenly temple of God. Even now, even as you worship our God, you need to understand that we're not just sitting here, but spiritual reality is that we have entered the heavenly Holy of Holies. And we are wearing the priestly garment, the true priestly garment. Your sins are cleansed by His blood, and you wear His righteousness. And you enter to serve and to worship your God. You are now anointed with the true oil, the Holy Spirit. You are the kingly priests of God. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, and He has made us to be a kingdom, a priest to His God and forever. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, and standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. Chapter 7, verse 14, I said to Him, My Lord, you know. And He said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And what do they do? What do you do? These are you. Chapter 7, verse 15, for this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve God day and night in His temple. Who serves day and night in His temple? Priests. You are God's priests in heaven forever and ever. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over you. Who am I in heaven? Who am I? See, the world tells you who you are in their own ways. But everything that world tells you who you are is all temporary. It's only for 80 years, 90 years, and after that, you are no more that. Whatever the world tells you. But who you are in heaven, that is forever. That person, that who you are, Jesus made you to be that forever and ever. Who am I in heaven? What is my life? What is my work? No matter what kind of job you have in this world, no matter what you do in this world, you are God's royal priesthood, and your work is serving and worshiping God now and forever. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. This is who Jesus Christ has made you to be. We serve God through and in Jesus Christ. Our work, our efforts are always lacking and sinful, but we are able to serve and worship God in and through Jesus Christ, who obeyed God perfectly for us. In Zechariah chapter 3, we see our picture in Joshua the priest. His filthy garment is taken off and the beautiful garment is put on. That is what happened to you in Jesus Christ. We must live our lives as God's royal priest. Even now, even as we worship our God, what are we doing? We are fulfilling the duty of who we are, God's priests. We are serving and worshiping our God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you, God's own chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You, the true Levites, know who you are and what your life is all about. Even as what you do out there, you know, you have jobs, your students, your wife, your husband, whatever that you do, do not forget your main job. You are God's priest. Because if you forget who you are, that's going to be a problem. And your job is to serve and worship God. You know, do not listen to the world. Understand who you are. And Bible never says, be the priest. I keep saying this to you. Bible says you are. It's not something you need to try to be. Jesus already accomplished it for you. But your job is to witness what Jesus has done for you. What he has done in your life. You are to show it. No matter what you do out there, you are showing something. Well, actually, only two. You either show that you belong to the world, or you show that you belong to God. That's it. Think about what you do out there. And through all those things that you do, what are you showing? Are you showing that you belong to God? Or when the world looks at you, they cannot tell the difference between the world and you. That is the worst thing that could happen to us. We don't have the same purpose with the world. We don't have same desires. We don't have same goals. For us,
It's always Jesus Christ and His glory. Even if I have to be persecuted, I have to be lonely, I have to suffer, I need to witness that I belong to heaven. I want you and me to truly realize, you know, why does God go through all this to save the Israelites from Egypt? What's the purpose? To make them a kingdom of priests. Why did Jesus do all that for you? Why did God save you out of sin and this world? Why? To make you a kingdom of priests. Nothing else. He didn't save you to make you doctor or lawyer, or He didn't save you to be rich. He didn't save you to be anything like that. He saves you so that you may worship Him, because you are His priest. That's who you are if you are truly Christian. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we give You all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, we thank You that You have saved us and made us a kingdom, a priest. And as Your priests, our life is all about worshiping You, bringing glory and honor to You. Oh Father, pour out Your grace that we may know who we are, that we may witness who we are, we may witness what Jesus has done in our lives. Bless us, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.